If you will ever read 1 Corinthians 14, which is the only chapter in all the New Testament that actually talks about specific worship practices in the first century, you will be able to tell fairly quickly that what you just have done was a lot more church than what you're about to have to endure. So, it's just the truth. And what I'm telling you now, I mean, you'll see it when you read 1 Corinthians 14, but I'm very hesitant to do it, but it basically says if somebody's talking and God gives you a word, stand up and I'm supposed to sit down. You just better make sure it's from God. Did I say that out loud? Okay. To those people that are handing out a piece of paper to the church, unless you've already done it, would you hand them out now? Have they already been handed out? No, they haven't. Okay, hand all those out. We decided only men can hand out paper here at this church. And that decision was made by a woman. I know, so, there you go. What is up with that? Yeah. It takes somebody special to count. You know, one, two. Okay. Last week, you heard several people from our congregation tell you that they're on board with our vision frame. That vision frame is literally just that. It's a frame. It includes a mission statement. It includes our values, which tell you our motives. It includes a strategy for what we do. And it includes ways to measure success and failure in what we do. But a frame goes around a picture. The frame is kind of like classical music with the grand staff and all the notes. It's like the choir that we hear on Christmas that Elaine is in, that choir, when they have specific notes to hold for two beats, not one and a half and not two and a quarter, but two beats. It's all very, very, very specific. And that's the frame that tells us some specific things. The vision itself is more like the jazz festival where we just were, because it's kind of improv. It's kind of like it's your turn to play, and you play as you feel it in your heart. You just go with it. That's what the vision is. The vision is something that will be living and moving in and around us all the time. It's something that we won't always be able to put our finger on exactly, but we have the frame around it to give us form. So here's the vision. We will strengthen Cresswell one family at a time. Cresswell will become a community of families loving Jesus and serving and supporting each other. Do you remember when you first heard about Jesus? Do you remember singing "Jesus Loves Me" for the first time? I don't. Because I heard the story of Jesus' love before I was a week old. Many of us have had that same experience. But not everyone in Cresswell knows that Jesus loved them from even before they were born. Many children and their parents don't feel His love now. And if someone doesn't tell them that Jesus loves them, they will never know about the saving grace that only He gives. In fact, many families exist in Cresswell who will never know of the better life that is theirs if we don't tell them. And perhaps the best way to tell them is to show them. A better tomorrow can exist for families in our community. Families can grow stronger, can become more capable of working through hardships together, can show more love for each other, can be full of hope. Love and faith can keep the family not only intact but thriving. Families can be safety nets for other families. Families can come to count on other families' help. Families that learn about Jesus' love through being cared for can help other families experience the same thing. Moms, dads and children can be stronger and happier. Now is the time for us as a community of believers to industriously involve ourselves in the lives of Cresswell families. Now is the time for us to recognize that children and families can be helped. Hope and love can exist, and we are their conduit to a better life. We have already begun a good work. Now is the time for us to take the next steps. We believe that Jesus wants us to help create a Cresswell where families are given the opportunity to experience the hope and love that He offers, where single parents know they're not alone, and where the family unit itself begins to heal. We believe that we have a mandate from Jesus to give families the tools to raise their children with hope of a better future. We believe the time is now. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me because theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In Cresswell now are children who can be followers of the King, who can be productive citizens, who can become successful parents, who can carry the hope and love of Jesus to their own children, who can change Cresswell to be a light to Lane County and beyond. Families exist in Cresswell now who want what Jesus has given us. We can offer that hope to them. They can, in turn, offer hope to others around them. In our church now, we have the spiritual gifts, the talent, and the passion to get more and more involved in the lives of our neighbors with the hope and love of Jesus. With God's approval and guidance, we can make this vision a reality. In a little while today, I'm going to ask you for questions or a response to this. But I want to set it up a bit more before I ask you to respond. Some of you last Sunday, when I explained the frame and you heard from our people, some of the best things I heard from you were like, "Well, this is not really new. This is what we're doing." And you know, that's the truth. It's what we're doing. It's what we have been doing for a long time. So this is not a radical, we're not asking you to make an about face as a church. We are wanting it to be kind of out there. We want it as something that's solid for us to know that the leaders of this church believe, and we hope that you believe, that this is really what we're called to do. And it seemed appropriate when we knew this was coming back last fall. And I'll never forget one night, Rod and Bill and Don and I were in a meeting, and we were talking about what's the next book of the Bible that Doug's going to preach from. Because, you know, I tend to preach straight expositorily, but I, as you very well know, I kind of take off on it, take off from it. And Rod said, "I think we ought to talk, we ought to teach Revelation." And my first reaction was, "Ooh, I don't want to get into demons and what 3.5 means and what, you know, time, times and a half time and all that means and who the red dragon was. Is it really China? I mean, you know, I didn't want to go there." But then it hit me. Revelation is a revealing. That's what apokalypsos in Greek means, a revealing. That's why it's called Revelation. Okay? John, the revelator, had a vision, and he wrote it down. And I've asked you, and you said God still talks to us today. And I believe you. I believe we've had a vision, just like John's. And now we've written it down. Henry Blackaby is a phenomenal Christian preacher and writer. He preached in Canada for umpteen hundred years, I don't know, a long time, and has written some amazing books. Mr. Blackaby was the leader of the President's Council on Spiritual Matters from a previous administration. When they would get the leaders of American culture, they would get Homeland Security leaders, they would get the leaders of trucking and the transportation of goods across America, and get all of these men and women together, the leaders of manufacturing. There were about 50 people that would come together once a month with the president. And you know what they got together for? This was in the second Bush administration, actually. They would get together to have Henry Blackaby pray over them. Okay? Mr. Blackaby wrote a book called Experiencing God. It's a phenomenal work for small groups to go through. And what Blackaby says in that book is that some of the ways that God talks to us today, He does talk to us sometimes in dreams. He sometimes talks to us with intuition. He talks to us through other people. He talks to us through the church. And the one way we can count on God talking to us all the time is through the Bible. But God does talk to us. We believe so strongly that God has spoken through a group of people, some of whom you heard last Sunday, that God has spoken and given us a vision. Different people wrote the words on that page. You'll notice one of the paragraphs begins that we will industriously be involved in the families of Creswell. That's Bill Spencer, just so you know. We were sitting there talking one night. Don remembers. We were writing, and I said, Don, what is it that you want us to envision for Creswell here in several years? And they're thinking, and Bill says, well, you know, Don had just said, we got to have families of faith in Creswell. And then Bill says, we have to just be industriously involved in the lives of people in our town. And I'm like, ooh, let me write that down. Well, there it stayed in there. There it is. The vision that God gives us through people. You might have a couple of questions about that. Like, how long are you going to take to do that? Guess how long this vision is. What do you think? Anybody have an opinion of, you know, is it like 6 months, year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? What do you think? An indefinite. What'd you say, Kathy? Till God changes it. What were you going to say, Jason? Yeah, it is. It's that till Jesus comes. This is not something that we expect to happen next week. We don't expect to snap our fingers and have it happen. It's a generational thing. I'll get back to that. Some of you may have this thought in your head. This is so, it's just arrogant that anybody could think we could even do that. Right? I mean, how dare we think that? Well, I want you to listen to another bit of apocalyptic literature in the Scripture of a time when they knew nothing good was going to happen. They knew it was all over, and they knew they couldn't do anything about it. And this is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. You'll recognize this. Ezekiel writes, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord." You're going to hear Revelation in there a little bit. It's the same kind of literature. "And He set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." These folks had been dead a long time, in other words. "Son of man, can these bones live?" is what the Lord asked him. I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then He said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I'm the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we're cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. And I have done it, declares the Lord." Is that talking to us in Creswell, Oregon, all these thousands of years later? I believe the answer is yes. If you're like me, I threw Rod under the bus last Sunday when I said, you know, Rod's first reaction when we read this was like, "We can't do this. Without God, we can't do it." And you know what? That is so true. There is no way we can do this. Look at us. I mean, look at who we are. We're like nothing. We can't do it. I told you I went to the jazz festival. Had a blast. But one of my highlights was one of the men that's also there as a chaperone. I didn't know him, never met him before in my life. And I got to meet him, and we got to talk a long time because we were roommates. Which is kind of interesting when you meet somebody and then there you are, you're stuck in a room with them all night. And I'm sure he felt worse than I did, but we got to talking. And he has some serious concerns about our school and the future of our teenagers and younger, and serious concerns about our community. And I said, "So what do you think we ought to do about it?" And you know what he said? "There's nothing we can do about it. We just have to keep living our lives." He's a wonderful man. Don't get me wrong. And you know what? I agree with him. There is nothing we can do about it. Unless we decide that God has spoken to us just like he spoke to Ezekiel and says, "If I put life into dry bones, then I'll do it." Your job is to prophesy, which means to tell people what's going to happen. And I have the privilege, folks, of simply being a mouthpiece. I want you to know something here. Ron Gernhardt said it the best. When things go bad at a church, the preacher gets hit with it a lot. And when things go well for a church, the preacher gets the credit for it a lot. And both of those are inaccurate. Ron said that the best thing that I have done for you is to let you know that it's okay to do what God calls you to do. I kind of put words in your mouth about that. That's what you said. It was that I've given you permission, if you will, to just be who you are and go do for God. And I agree with that, and I like it. If any of you hear me ever either say or think out loud to you that this is because of me, you ought to shame me just right then, because this is not about me. And the good news is, it's not even about you. It's about the people in our town that have a need. And so before any of us think that we are the answer, you need to always go back to Ezekiel 37. We're just the ones that get to prophesy for God and get to watch God start rattling bones. But the whole reliving process, that's God's business. It's not ours. We do not have anything within ourselves to offer anybody. We have as many problems or more than the people that we're trying to reach. We struggle with everything. We don't have it figured out at all. We have one thing. We have faith in Jesus. I want to ask you something. Do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that? All right, in 10 words or less, at your desire, I want you to, you can sit right there, but I want you to say it loud enough for everybody to hear you. I want to know, how do you know Jesus loves you? How do you know? There you go. I was hoping somebody would take us to that song. Thank you, Candy. How do you know Jesus loves you? You've seen Him in action. I wouldn't be here without Him. Okay, who said He brought you here? He gives and takes away. Okay, He brought you through the storm. Ooh, that is so important, Joe, for people to hear. And you know when they need to hear it. It's when they're in the storm. Right? Because you and Michelle and your kids are testimony that God can bring you through the storm. Amazing. Ooh, I know a lot of you were there, but I wish you'd been at Alex and Brianna's wedding. When you got to hear Brianna tell her daddy a thing or two, it was awesome. Oh man, talk about going through a storm. And Joe's response, whew, I cried for an hour. way to go, Joe. Sorry, that wasn't in the sermon. How do you know Jesus loves you? Okay, He's with you no matter where you are. Ooh, you ask and He shows you. I think He said something about that in the Sermon on the Mount. Something about asking and knocking and seeking. What? He gave you Frank. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. He's never left you. Thank you, Cheyenne. Okay. He accepted you for who you are. When are you going to become less than you are right now, by the way? Hopefully soon. We prayed for you last Sunday, but we were praying for a delivery. Okay, soon, soon. All right, guys. Yeah. The elders of this church, when we get together and we pray, you know, one of the things that they thank God for showing them His love is because God brings along people at the right time. And, you know, some of you said He brought us here. And and that is the way it is. He brings you here. Most of you that are fairly recent here, I need to warn you of something, though. You haven't been brought here to receive. You've been brought to give. So there you are. But it's not to give to me or to us. It's to give to other people. Did you know? Anybody? I don't want to leave anybody out that has something they want to. Yes, ma'am.
He takes the weight off your shoulders, or mine anyway. Takes the weight off my shoulders. Uh huh. Because I know that He's going to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of.
And you've had a few storms too. Susan is saying he takes the weight off her shoulders. That is so good. Yes, sir? He changed you? Oh, continues to change you, okay. Did you know that most of Cresswell would have to remain in utter silence if I were to ask them this question? There are many, many people in our little town that not only don't know that he loves them, but they don't even know he's there. In fact, they believe he's not there. And I got to tell you, I don't know how you get through life thinking you're alone. Alone is terrible. And these people in our town are only going to know that they're not alone if one thing happens. And it won't be if somebody like me preaches the perfect sermon, whatever that is. That won't cut it, because most of them will never, ever hear me preach. Or they're not going to hear a preacher. In my opinion, and based on what you see in Scripture, what they will react to, okay, I want you to think of it this way. When Jesus was living here, what did people react positively to when they were with Jesus? What'd they react to? You remember?
Miracles.
Miracles. They reacted positively when they saw things that obviously had come with power. And it was always things that benefited them, because we're all selfish. I appreciate the good things that happen to you, but I love the good things that happen to me, because it's all about me. You just thought it was about you, but it's not. Isn't that how we all are? Yeah. So when good things happen to people and they say, thank you, and you say, it wasn't even me, it was Jesus doing it through me, that gets weird, folks. And people start going, ooh, don't know about that. But when you do something good in the name of Jesus, people take notice. So, on this point, a couple of things I want you to know about. There's going to be things that change about our church. I'm not setting you up because I know something big's going to happen next Sunday. No. I told you this vision is one, it's like jazz, it's improv. It's going to be moving and feeling and guessing and hoping. But it's going to have this motive in mind that I read to you, that we will change one family at a time in Cresswell for Jesus. That is not something that those people that spoke last Sunday, or Bill and Don and I, that is not something we can do. It takes all of us with God's help. So, I want to know, how do you feel about this, guys? I know it's Sunday morning and it's worship and you're supposed to say praise God and that this is going to happen. What do you think about this vision? Really, how do you feel about this vision? You're excited? What did you say? I heard something back here. Ah, well, thank you, Sandy. You think God is moving? I do too. I feel it. It lines up with Scripture. That'd be the most important thing we could do, is for it to line up with Scripture. We could start offering belly dance lessons. Just said. It would be exciting, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be great? Oh, okay. Not so much in line with what God wants. Okay, Jason's first. Okay, maybe you're the teacher of the thing. I don't know. Sorry. What do you think? Sir?
I can send out a verse to somebody, but I have no idea where that verse goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and I've talked to people who have told me, well, I've sent it to so-and-so. Where it goes from there, I don't know.
Yeah, so it won't go to just, you know, in 2 Timothy 2:2, when Paul was writing to Timothy, one of the most important things that he said was, I am entrusting these words to you, Timothy. You're going to entrust them to others who will pass it on to others. 2 Timothy 2:2 is an awesome verse of exactly what Art is saying. Anybody else's reaction to this vision? There you go. It will get us involved with them. Yes, ma'am? Ooh, okay. Okay. So, okay, let's be really kind of blunt about this for a second. Kim just said there's a chance that God is telling her to grow a garden. We do have some land right there. Interesting. that's what I'm talking about now, guys. Okay, for a brief second, Kim has a good idea. And so she comes with an idea to communicate that idea to the elders. Not for their permission, for communication purposes. And they say to her, that is a fantastic idea, run with it. Okay, that's one answer. Or they say, wait a minute, did you know that we're getting ready to, and it's going to take up all that land? Okay, there's nothing there on the horizon either. I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying that this is where the frame of our who we are and where we're going comes into play. Does it fit our mission? Does it fit our values? Does it fit our strategy? And does it fit the measures that we have? You see? So you look at it in relation to the frame and you go, oh, that fits in. Go with it. So then Kim brings it to you. And she says, we're going to do this good thing. And we're going to have a meeting, and here's how it's going to happen. And let's just say, nobody shows up. That's kind of a sign to Kim. Number one, the Lord has perhaps spoken through the church. Now's not the time to do that. Or, you know what? This is not about everybody else. This is about me, this part of the church, and I'm going to do it anyway. Or what if she has it and 40 people show up? Then you get, oh, probably it's God talking to us. Let's do this thing. So what I'm saying is when there's ideas like this, it's not that everybody goes off in their direction and goes, I'm going to do it for God, so it's going to work for Cresswell. No, there's still leadership. There's still a framework. And there's still us as a body trying to all go in the same direction. Because you know what happens when everybody goes their own direction at the same time. You don't move anywhere. You stay right there, and there's a lot of tension. But when everybody is in line and online, you go in one direction, and you go really, really well. Okay, so that was an aside, too. Anybody else? Reaction to the vision? Yes, sir. Seeing faith. Actions based from love is what brought you to Jesus. Cool. So you okay? It is a chain reaction. It's one thing that we want to do. Okay. Again, I don't want to cut anybody off. One of the strategies that we talked about last week is making sure that we develop relationships that go beyond a Sunday morning, how do you do? That get deeper. When you feel vitally connected to a few people, you're going to be feel much more connected and much more fit in this. I have told you, right after Christmas that I got very bad news from my doctor. I did. My cholesterol was way high, 277. My triglycerides, sky high. My weight was blossoming. And you all also know, I've been pretty transparent to you. At times I get into activities and I lose weight and I try and I lose weight. And, you know, my family just won't feed me right. It's all their fault. anyway. no. And so we made a concerted effort and to try to change things. And I've got three people that are really supporting me, because they're not even doing it for themselves necessarily. They're doing it for me. They're getting together. We have a small group of our own, and they're doing this thing for me. And I got word this week that we started this thing the day after Christmas, because I had half of a slab of delicious, succulent, wonderful, smoky brisket on Christmas Day. Get behind me, Satan. and we started this thing the next day. And in that month, we've just gone by. This week I do my blood work to see if there's any change in my blood. But I'm 16 pounds down, and my blood pressure is 20 points off. And I get to go, if I go 5 more points off on my blood pressure, I can quit taking my blood pressure medicine forever. As long as I'll keep doing this thing. Okay, why do I bring that up in the middle of this? There is no way I can do that on my own. I do not have the willpower. Yesterday afternoon, I wanted to stop at the DQ and get a quadruple burger with all of the sauces I could possibly put on it. I mean, I was just craving that thing. I wanted it. And instead, Deb brought out some, I don't know, what was that stuff, honey? I had made it and she froze it. I mean, it was not good. It was one of my first attempts at something, but it wasn't all that good. But I ate it. and I didn't want the hamburger anymore because I was full. And I had the good news and the good thought that it was good for me. And I get to have good blood results, hopefully, very soon. The reason I'm telling you this is we need each other to encourage us. One of the things I read about this kind of eating, this whole food, plant-based diet, is you need to form a group. And you need to get support in your town to help you keep going on this, because it's a good thing. You know, that's just human nature. If I want to help the school, form a group to do it with me. If I want to help the community, I form the Civitan Club or the Kiwanis Club or the Beautify Cresswell Club. I mean, that's just us. We are relational people. We want to be with each other. And one of our basic strategies is this is not just you and God on your journey. It's you and God and a group of other folks. There's times when you need to tell your stuff to others. There's times when you need to be able to throw up on somebody and let them tell you, we hear you and we understand. One of our basic things when we face our issues is let's get quiet. I don't want you to know.
But you never know how much people are listening.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, we need each other. Nancy, would you come on up, please? Nancy is helping us not only invigorate, but to organize and figure out one of our strategies for helping people in our community is through small groups. Would you do your thing, Nancy?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi. Well, Marv 100 times, because Doug's my BFF and we talk a lot, is that God has put the opportunity in front of us. If he wanted that done, it would be done. He's put the opportunity in front of us, and we need to step in and do it.
Basic strategies. We want 100% of you in a small group. Okay? That is one of the best ways of reaching out.
Can I amend that?
Go. You've been thinking you're at this one church and you're at another one all this time. It's all a mistake, Nancy. Okay, very briefly as we conclude. I want you to know one thing from the guts of our small group that met for a year, the Vision Pathway team. One of the biggest subjects we talked about was changing the name of our church. Just so you know. Well, you did. Yeah. No, we didn't. You did. Three people fainted. I mean, there you go. basically, we said that we don't want a name of our church to define who we are, except in the best possible way. Some people have the name of our church and it repels them. They don't want to be a part of us. Other people hear the name of this church and it attracts them. In that group, we had everything from, I've had very bad experiences in churches with this name. I want us to change it before next Sunday. And other people that said, all I've ever had all my life are very positive experiences. I really never want to change it. Remember I told you last week, yes, ma'am? There you go. She said, why would you change something that's not broken? And you know, that was kind of the end result of all of our discussion. Was we're very open to changing the name, but we don't feel a need to have to change the name. And if another name that comes about because of what's going on here and it becomes real apparent, that is not something that will ever happen in which you don't get to voice your feelings and opinions and what God is calling you to say to the church. Just know that. But at the end of the day, that group said, it ain't broke, let's don't fix it. And so we did not have any kind of movement to do it. We just said, it's just there. There it is, and this is who we are, but it doesn't define us. It's just us. Okay? So just kind of wanted you to know a little bit of the inner workings of that group and a little bit about process of how we made that decision. The reason that we're in Revelation is not so that I can adequately define 1,260 days to you. It really isn't. It's about the fact that God reveals Himself to us. When you feel a revealing, as Kim said, we want you to bring it to us. Not to, I don't mean to Bill and Don and me, not to the staff, but to us, to bring it to us. And out of this, a direction for what we're doing will emerge. It will continue to emerge. It is emerging now, and it will continue. We're going to continue through Revelation, but you got to know what's happening. In Revelation, it's bad. They're getting killed. It's going to get worse. Because when good things happen, the devil's forces come out. I got to tell you guys, that's very, very, very appropriate to us today. Okay? Somebody's playing to us. Okay, there you go. Now we got it solved. That was a neat song, though. Okay. As good things happen, we may just have to sing that for a while. I don't know. As good things happen, there is a force in this world that's not happy with that, guys. There will be attacks on us. Okay? It's going to happen. Because here's what we've done as a church. We've said, this is the vision that we have. This is where we're going. This is who we are. This is what's going to happen. And it's up to God to make it happen, but it's up to us to listen and follow. And as that happens, there's going to be forces that say, I don't think so. I expect, even though we've not promoted ourselves a lick with IRC, we have never promoted this church with that reading program. Isn't that right, Sandy? We never did. There you go. It's all that cussing I did. Or not. It's that reading program is phenomenal. But I think I told you this, but when Ryan, the principal, agreed to come here, he told me all these things. Yeah, I'm glad to do it, glad to come. Yeah, and then one last email was, oh, by the way, where am I coming? In the 4 years we worked together, I never told him what church I was. Isn't that awful? And the principal didn't know which church to come to. Okay, but my point is, I wouldn't doubt but what somebody says, oh, wait a minute, that's too much involvement by God in the schools. I expect there might be an attack on that. We just call for our school board members to stand up and not let that happen. It's in God's hands, guys. If he takes away one way, he'll give us another. There's a program that exists in our country that is one family to another family. It's called marriage coaching. Bill Spencer told me about it when I first got here. I've never actively gotten involved in that. Have any of you all ever gone through the training, any marriage coach training? One couple, the Riddles, have. Anybody else? Ah, okay, you did it. And then you notice Steve promptly left you, so there you are. No, he's out shooting defenseless animals this morning, so on the Lord's Day, but no condemnation there. As you know, guys that have been here, that's just not my thing. And so I can talk really ugly about hunting. Don't you dare talk about riding horses. We don't talk about that. So anyway. that may be a tool that we get to use. Marriage coaching. It's pretty intriguing to me. I don't do so much with seminars. I'm not sure you learn a lot with marriage seminars. But when you sit down a couple at a time, there's some things that can be shared. That's something some of you couples that have enough experience, not that you have a perfect marriage, but that you have enough years in it, you might be interested. There's a lot of tools that are out there for us to actively help people. There's a lot of our members have gone through tremendous grief lately. There's some grief recovery kind of things that we can do. One group has already started Financial Peace, and they're having it. There's several of you are involved in that class, that course, and we have several people from the community involved in it. Most everybody that is currently receiving the what's the food program called, Elena, that you guys do on Fridays? Food for Kids. Almost every family in there that gets food for the weekend for their kids, themselves and their kids. Think what being involved in Financial Peace University could do for those families. And now the elementary school has offered this library to us to teach that course. Yes, ma'am?
I just wanted to say there's
going
to be opportunities next year to help hand out the food bags to the classroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's all about that food for kids. There's going to be so many ways. But right now, I want you praying for God to help you with our vision about this. Praise team, come on up, please. This is not about any big, gigantic programs. This is about us listening to what God tells us to put us into the lives of the people around us. All day, every day. Okay? Last thing I'll say is, we could have had many other visions. We could have had a vision that said, we want God to bring us 300 members. We want God to give us a 50-member youth group. We want God to give us a new youth and children facility. But that didn't seem exciting, in all honesty. I would love for God to bring all of those things, but that's all in God's hands. I would love for Rod, for Pam, for all of you guys that are involved in teens and kids to come to me and say, we can't do this anymore. We don't have the facilities. I'd love for that to happen. At that point, we'll figure something out. I have no clue. But I do know that it is us simply following God. Okay? We're not going to have those kind of goals. We're just not going to. This is about meeting needs of people in our community. It'll be God and them that decides that they need to respond to Him. Okay? We're going to help them. We're going to let God save them. Just know that. Father in heaven, I thank you that your family that meets here has listened this morning, and I appreciate, Father, the favorable comments. I ask you, Father, to instill on each of our hearts a love for people around us. Not condemnation because they're different from us, but love of them, acceptance of them, and a desire to simply be your tool to help them so that they in turn can help others. Father, we need people to teach us, and we need people to learn from us. But mainly, Father, we need dry and dead bones to come together and live again. We need people that exist right now to start thriving because you are their Father. We need people to join us on the road to heaven and on this journey that we're taking together. I pray that even this morning that you are stirring hearts in different ministries, different parts of a vision, so that we fit together as a true body of believers, and that we do move together, that we present a harmony that makes a beautiful bit of music, Father. I ask you to protect us from the devil's arrows, and I ask you to instill in us the passion of loving people around us. And so, Father, as we commune with each other and with you now, I pray that you instill in us the desire to share our faith, the faith that only you can provide. Through the risen Savior, we pray. Amen.